Cowboy.
This is SB Nation AM.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
And a good morning to you, SB Nation Radio. It's SB Nation AM. Glad you can be with us. Combine continuing in Indianapolis. Henry Ruggs of Alabama ran the 40 in 4.27 seconds. What does that mean? I have no idea. All I know is that's super fast. That's going to probably raise some eyebrows. I never know in the end what the 40-yard dash and, you know, shorts and a small shirt actually means when it comes to professional football. But it doesn't really matter, does it? We've reached a point now where these drills and things like the 40-yard dash and the jump and the three-cone drill and all of that are just enjoyable on their own. Right? We evaluate his draft status, the former Alabama wide receiver, based on that level of speed. Okay, whatever. But the reality of it is when somebody does that in the 40-yard dash, we go, hey, check it out. And sure enough, we check it out. But in the end, that's really what the combine is, right? Sure, there's some real analysis going on. There is going to be some conversations. There is going to be some interviews. There's going to be some buzz about certain players, right? They're going to be doing something in the bench press or the way they're going to be throwing the football or how accurately they talk about this play or that play in coming up with their offensive knowledge. All those things that they're going to be discussing with the NFL personnel. But for fans, I think in the end, we just sort of like watching this stuff. I think this kind of makes good viral videos and it makes good conversation pieces. Listen, I mean, this Henry Ruggs running a 4.2740. I think it was a little, it's officially listed at 4.28 is, I mean, got thousands and thousands and thousands of views. I mean, what are you really watching? Just a guy running fast on a straight path? Why do we want to watch that? I don't know. It because it's the combine, because it's connected through the NFL. And we are kind of trained to believe that somehow that means something. That when it comes to April, when Henry Ruggs is drafted, wherever he is drafted, you're supposed to remember that back on February 27th, he ran the 40-yard dash in 4.27 seconds, missing out on the record, but still the fastest participant at the combine. And whatever that information does to help you process where and when he's drafted, let it just be wherever it is. That's the beauty of all this, viewing the combine in prime time.
This is SB Nation AM. On SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us, SB Nation Radio, SB Nation AM, as we continue along on a Friday on Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver, that's Ron with two N's. Last hour, just to clarify, because we actually did some research, because you know how we always trust Michael with all when he sends us information on Twitter? And we always go, well, you know, we just trust him. So Michael said Germany would be the equivalent of California in economic and population size, and we believe that because he sent it in.
Why wouldn't we?
But I had equated Germany with Missouri in terms of like size, just like square miles. But you know, I just threw that out there. I didn't really know. I was just thinking off the top of my head. So we actually looked it up, and we found out that it's more equivalent to New Mexico.
It's slightly smaller than Montana, slightly larger than New Mexico. So in between.
Okay, so in between. So there you go. We actually said, let's look that up. Let's see exactly, you know, instead of just throwing out a random state. Luckily, I didn't say Rhode Island or Delaware.
Yeah, I mean,
I didn't,
exactly.
You know, I didn't go down that road to like Vermont. I didn't go, well, it's like Vermont. Like, I grew up in New Hampshire, and New Hampshire you can get from like point A to like across the state in like an hour and a half.
Yeah, you can't do that in California.
You know, no, no. So,
or New Mexico or any other state.
It was very weird when I went back home. Because it's, just a couple of years ago, I went back to my old hometown, and was going through the old neighborhood and whatnot. And I hadn't been there in a really, really long time. My parents had moved away from there. And
we lived outside of Concord, New Hampshire, which is like the center of the state. It's the capital of the state. And you used to go into Concord a lot. You know, you'd go into Concord for, you know, it was the only place where McDonald's was and all the other places. But I always thought it was a longer drive growing up than it actually was. When I got on the highway and I was driving, it was like 7 miles. And I was like, wait a minute, 7 miles? I go further than 7 miles to sometimes go food shopping in Nashville. Like, I'm like, wait a minute, that's crazy. So it was a lot bigger than it was a lot smaller than I originally thought. Then I realized how small the state actually was, and you could get from point A to point B in a short amount of time. So unlike you, who grew up in a vast state where it was take forever to get anywhere.
Yeah, no, it does.
You know, there you go.
And I grew up right in the middle of the state. Right, yeah. In the dead smack center of California. Well, until about junior high school, then I moved to L.A.
L.A., nice. Last night in college basketball, look, we're getting closer and closer to the end of the season. In fact, some regular season finales are going to go down for a couple of conferences coming up this weekend. So there are some games that are coming up that are really, really important. Indiana, for example, their chance of being a real outside bubble team took a huge hit last night. They lost on the road to Purdue. Not only did they lose, they lost 57-49. That drops them to 8-9 in the Big Ten. Archie Miller, he always had a team on the precipice that could get in, couldn't, you know, maybe not. Sometimes they would show you something that might deserve a conversation. I think this takes them out of the conversation now. I think it's going to be a little too late for Indiana to get in. But if you are looking at some of the small schools, and I don't want to call them mid-majors per se, but the ones that usually get in as a 15 seed, they win their conference tournament and they're like a 15 or a 14. There's some teams that won yesterday that I think you should keep your eye on. Austin Peay, Belmont, and Murray State are all tied for the lead in the Ohio Valley Conference. That should be a really good tournament. Those three teams are really good. I don't know if any of them are going to be on getting an at-large bid. I know, you know, obviously, if all three of them lose the conference tournament, maybe one of them gets in. I mean, we know John Morant and Murray State got in last year after winning the conference. Austin Peay's really good. But three of them are going right down to the wire for a chance to try to make it into the dance. East Tennessee State, we talked about them earlier this week. They won. They lead the SoCon. They not only won, listen, they're playing really good, and they're playing good enough that they might get an at-large bid. And that's really rare for the SoCon, because UNC Greensboro and Furman are in that conference as well. And both of those teams are having outstanding seasons. But watch out for East Tennessee State. If they don't get an automatic bid by winning the SoCon tournament, they might get an at-large bid. Little Rock also won out of the Sun Belt. Sun Belt's not a bad conference. It's not super great, but they're pretty good. They're leading that as well. These are just some of the teams that keep an eye on is your 14 and 15s. You know, you're supposed to kind of root for, I guess, to sort of make your bracket a complete and utter disaster. I don't know why people root for that. I would want to root for winning every possible game I possibly can. But, you know, these are the teams that might make a mess of your bracket. You know what these teams are also? These are the teams that if your secretary picks them, and they win and they upset, like, let's say the secretary at your office or the girl that works in sales that doesn't know anything about college basketball, and she picks East Tennessee State and they beat like Baylor in round one, then you got to find out why. Like, you got to do some investigating. Like, you got to go, okay, what made you pick them? Why in the world would you pick them? Do you have a son that went to school there, or did you live in that area at some point in your life? Because that happens like in every office pool, doesn't it? Where you have like Bradley winning against Kansas or something, and you go, wait a minute, they actually had somebody that picked Bradley over Kansas, and you got to find out why. So that's just just keep in mind, these are some of the teams, you know, Belmont, Murray State, you know, the the other team in the Sun Belt that won last night, North Dakota State. They beat South Dakota State last night. So these are the ones to pay attention to. These are the ones that are, you know, that are you going to have in your bracket in the bottom tier. You know what? My daughter, when she was 5 years old, she won our radio station's office pool. And I did this because of a bet. I did this because I was actually mad. My daughter was 5 and I was working this radio station. I was doing the night show in Denver, and my co-host, we had this producer that was like, he loved college basketball, and he always studied the statistics, and he, you know, broke it down, and he followed KenPom and all that stuff. And so when it was bracket time, he filled out his bracket early. And he said on our show, he said, I have the perfect bracket. And I mean, this guy was breaking down like 3-point shooting percentages and blah, blah, blah. You know, you need good guard play and all those, you know, euphemisms that we get the tournament time. And I was like, I had enough. Like, I had enough of him about this. And I said, listen, you know, this tournament isn't that. You know, this tournament isn't about statistics, and it's not about the things that are supposed to go right. It's about chaos. It's about every now and then picking the right upsets. And in the end, it's really luck. I said, I'm going to bring in my 5-year-old, and she's going to pick out a bracket, and I bet she beats you. So we made a big deal out of it. We actually got a camera, and my daughter's 5, and she's just sitting at a desk, and I'm reading her the two teams that she's got to pick from. And I said, now you just give me a name. I'm going to give you two names, and you pick one. So we give her names, and she's just giving out whatever comes into her mind, whatever name she likes to say, and I'm writing it down. So we filmed the whole thing because we wanted it to be accurate. We didn't want it to be a joke. We filmed the whole thing. And whatever reason, I don't know why, my daughter just likes saying UConn. She just likes, I mean, she would always use it with a little accent towards the end. She would go, UConn. So I would say, all right, UConn and this. She goes, UConn. You know, like little kids do that. So we filled it out. And it was supposed to be her against him. That was really that was the whole show bit, right? So we entered her into our office pool that we had. Now, at the time, I was working at a radio station that had 11 full-time hosts and like 5 producers. And all of us were sports experts, quote unquote. And obviously people in sales chipped in. So it was a good, like, 25 people that were in the pool, and she won the whole thing. She won it all. She beat everybody at 5 years old, and it proved my point, right? She didn't know anything about college basketball, right? But it just proved my point that what really wins is luck, because when you overanalyze your bracket, what happens is that you tend to emphasize a lot of the upper seeds, right? Because that's the reason they're there. But when they get knocked off, what happens is you lose all those potential points along the way. So if Duke gets upset in round 2 and you had Duke going to the Final 4, you know, you're X-ing them all out. The way my daughter's bracket was that she had teams that were in the top, but she randomly would have other teams in it. And found the right one. And UConn won the national championship. That was the year Kevin Ollie was the head coach. And I think they were like a 6 seed. They played Butler for the national championship.
Was that Kyrie Irving's team? No.
No, that he played for Duke.
Oh, who was?
God. Yeah, this was 2000. Yeah, this was 2011. But this is how she won. She had the team nobody else had. Right. And it was just luck. Now, she could have found Syracuse to be the word she liked to say, or she might have liked saying Duke, or she might have liked saying Loyola Marymount for all I care. I didn't, you know, she just caught on catching the word UConn, and it followed her all the way through. And by just happenstance, she won the pool because nobody else was taking UConn. And so that's how the office secretary wins the office poll. And then when you find out how in the world did you take Butler to the finals? She's like, well, my mother-in-law she grew up in Indianapolis and they're from Indianapolis. So therefore I liked it. Okay. That works for me. And listen, I've been playing in these things since I was in high school. I think the closest I ever came to winning, the only time I won was in 87 when I was in school. I liked Syracuse, and Syracuse played Indiana for the national championship, and I had them going deep. And I've come close, but I don't think I win these things. I don't think I do actually really well in them, to be honest with you. Because I tend to hang on to chalk just a little too much. I tend to hang on to that to them a little too much, and I end up choosing the wrong ones. Like I end up putting my faith too much in like, Kentucky or something when they get knocked out early or whatever. I always find the wrong team to take. But as I mentioned earlier, some of these smaller schools that are playing in some of these smaller conferences that are wrapping up this weekend, the regular season anyway, some of them are dangerous. Some of them are dangerous. And I'm not, you know, I'm not saying that East Tennessee State is going to upset like a two seed Kansas or Baylor or Gonzaga or something like that, but they're dangerous enough that they would give them a little bit of a run.
I had to look it up. It wasn't, it was Kemba Walker. That was the person.
Kemba Walker. That's right. The 2011 championship team.
Yeah. That's amazing.
Yeah.
I mean, that's, you know, that goes along with, you know, the secretary down the hall winning the office pool.
That's right. That's right.
She just randomly picks names and, or like how, you know, my mom, we do always do a family pool, you know, just, you know, my mom, my brothers, significant others and all that fun stuff. And my mom usually consistently is like in the top two every single year.
Yeah.
And I don't get it.
Yeah.
I'm just like, I know she doesn't watch college basketball.
And it's funny now because my daughter's a teenager and she actually likes college basketball. She actually follows it. Like, and she doesn't do well in our family pool.
No, she can't.
Now she can't. Now she's doing what I do is she overanalyzes the seats. Yep. She's like, well, I can't take Bucknell over Kansas. That's
you
not
can't.
Like
why
that's not
going to
happen.
That?
Why would I do that? Like, right? Like, why would any of us do that?
That's just setting yourself up for failure.
5-year old her would have latched on anybody that was just rolling along in this pool.
Bucknell is a fun name to say.
By the way, just a real quick, I had her cut a promo for me, where she was promising next year's Final Four absolutely free if you call in right now. It was a brilliant promo. It was a brilliant promo. She's like, I picked UConn to win it all, and they did. Call me right now, and I'll give you next year's Final Four absolutely free. It was a really good promo. She had to do it in the right cadence and everything. I had her do it over and over again. It was great. that was fun.
How were the men? Knowing that they lost to a 5-year-old.
I ended up on as a guest on two shows on my own station to talk about her, how she did it, why we did the bit in the first place. Because the story of just being me angry at my producer for bragging about his bracket and forcing this, you know, this situation. Yeah. 'Cause I was just like, I've had enough with him bragging about his college basketball knowledge. I was like, it's just every day it was like that. Every day on the show was him bragging about his perfect bracket. He goes, if anyone's going to win $1 million, it's me. I'm going to win it. He goes, I got a perfect bracket. And I was like, that's enough. My daughter's going to beat you in this thing. So, all right, on Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Gulliver. That's Ron with two N's. All right, coming up next, we're going to talk a little NFL because Jerry Jones may be pining for somebody, a long lost love. That's next, SB Nation AM.
Listening to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, I have a car problem, but don't know where to go. Maybe you're not close to home when your car breaks down. So let O'Reilly Auto Parts help with O'Reilly Auto Parts Shop Referral Program. Take the guesswork out of finding a great shop wherever you are. Call an O'Reilly location near you or visit O'ReillyAuto.com. Click Find a Repair Shop and find a reputable repair facility or service center for your repairs. O'Reilly Auto Parts, better prices every day. Could Jerry Jones be welcoming back Dez Bryant? He was asked about this question. He says he actually was thinking about this in the shower. All right, I don't know why he would think about Dez Bryant in rejoining the Cowboys in the shower, but that's pretty much what he said.
Well, I know why.
Why?
Because you win 100% of your arguments in the shower.
That is very true. That's a good point. Maybe that's where he does his best thinking.
Yeah. You also, you know, for me anyways, I don't know about you, but I sound exactly like Frank Sinatra in the shower.
Oh, of course. That's exactly. Yeah, we all do. That's right. Exactly.
But I mean, you win, you know, that sometimes you're just sitting there and you're showering, thoughts go through your mind. It's like, you know, you get that argument going in your head, like, oh, I've got this in the bag.
I got this one in the bag. So Jones admitted to the Dallas Morning News, quote, I thought a lot about it in the shower. He's about playing, possibly coming back to the Dallas Cowboys. Says it's not out of the question. Bryant missed all of last year. Remember, Bryant was on the Saints. Remember that? And he got hurt like the second he got there. Remember that?
Yeah,
he was on the Saints. And he literally tore like an Achilles or something. Like, I kid you not. Like the moment he got to New Orleans, I think it was the first practice or the second day he got there. Because remember, like the Saints that weekend were all putting up the X signs every time they scored. They were giving like Dez love. For whatever reason, they were like, he just got there. So he was out last season. And Jones said, yeah, it's possible. Now, how possible really is it? I mean, is this something that Jerry Jones wants to do? I mean, does he really want Dez Bryant to come back?
I had to look it up because I do remember. I completely forgotten about that. Okay.
Okay.
So it is on November 9th or November 7th, 2018, 9 weeks into the 2018 season. Bryant agreed to a one-year, $1.25 million deal with the New Orleans Saints. On November 9th, just 2 days after signing with the Saints, Bryant tore his Achilles tendon during team practice.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Yeah, I remember we kind of chuckled at that.
Yes, like, I completely forgot about that.
Not to chuckle at a guy's agony and pain, but the irony was really kind of rich. I mean,
what luck.
Poor guy. Because remember, we actually thought, because remember the Saints were running, and we said, does Dez get a Super Bowl ring if the Saints like win the championship?
Yes.
They seem to like him a lot.
We never know.
We'll never know.
So, I mean, well.
He's 31 years old. That's not, I mean, it's not over the hill for a wide receiver, but coming off an Achilles, you know, you got to know how productive he would be. And listen, is Jones loyal? Yes, almost to a fault sometimes he is. Because you ever notice with Jones the way he talks about certain people? He talks about them as if they're part of like a family. And sometimes you have problems with family, but they're always family, right? Maybe like the crazy uncle is a little nuts, but he's your uncle. Like, you know, you're not going anywhere. You're not kicking him out. And Jones almost has this way with certain people. Like, quote, Jones, this is what Jones said. He goes, he had a serious injury. He's been out a bit, but Dez is a great player, and the obvious is, is he still a great player? We know Dez better than anybody. I know him better than, I'm going to say, anybody. I think Jones likes that about certain people. He drafted him. He watched him grow up. Now, there was an issue that Bryant had some harsh words about some of his former players, right? Some of his former teammates. But Jones has said those are repairable. Right? Why? Why would those be repairable? Well, they'd be repairable if Jones looks at this group as like a family dynamic. Mm-hmm. Right? We all can get together at Thanksgiving and hash this out. Right? That it doesn't have to be business where we cut ties with you when we don't revisit this again.
And then the other thing he's probably looking at too is like, okay, you know what? Dez might be a good compliment to Amari.
That might be true, right?
Because Amari's clearly the number one. Dez would have to resolve himself to being number two, maybe even number three, but then that's a dangerous two or three.
Yeah, that's right. And I think this is going to be an interesting thing to watch because Jones again is going back to this idea of I like the people I know. Like this is the thing with Dez Bryant, right? Jones knows the best of him and he knows the worst of him, right? And he's still willing to say, look, when he's at his best, I like that. Now, you may disagree with that. You may have problems with that. You may be more analytical. But to Jones, that's the feelings he wants to have about his players, that there's something about them that he knows. There's no we'll wait and see. There's no gamble. He knows Dez. He knows what Dez can do. And if he can get that, he'll take it. Now, contrast that to the Steelers. In the last couple of days, well, maybe a week or so, Antonio Brown's been doing this sort of, he's having this conversation about Pittsburgh. And he's sort of remembering how really good he had it in Pittsburgh. Now, that's easy because he doesn't have anything now, right? There's nothing to compare it to. He's got no home. Nobody wants him. You know, he burnt his bridge with the Raiders and he got let go from the Patriots. And this sexual harassment, that cloud is still hovering over. He would love to mend the fences with Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh has zero interest in mending the fence with him. That's it. They don't look at Antonio Brown the way Dez Bryant is looked at by Jerry Jones. They don't care if Antonio Brown plays in this league again or if he never plays. If he plays, it's not going to be for him. If he plays for someone, it's not going to be for him. I think Jones likes Bryant deeper than that.
SB Nation AM continues now on SB Nation Radio. Time for the good.
That's really nice.
The bad.
That's the bad guy.
And the dumb.
What an idiot. Oh, what a loser.
All right, so good, the bad, and the dumb. It is a Friday edition. I always like the end of the week because we get to go in the week feeling good with the good. So the good of the day is...
Well, I mean, you know, I got to give a coronavirus update.
Oh, let's give a coronavirus update.
You know, usually when we do a coronavirus story, it's either bad or dumb, right?
That is true. We've like been kind of floating around.
I did one yesterday or 2 days ago. I can't remember. I think it was yesterday where I said I was screwed because I can't wear the masks.
That's right, because you have the facial hair.
Because I have facial hair, so I'm destined to catch coronavirus.
Yeah.
But I do have some good news about the coronavirus. China recently released a report saying that it is okay to break wind amidst the coronavirus fear.
Okay, wait a minute. Was it believed that the coronavirus could spread?
You know what? I think some people might have been a little worried about that. That, you know, it's coming from inside the body. That's a problem.
Okay.
So if you're in China and you feel that urge, go ahead. You're not, I guess, putting the disease more out there.
Yeah, that's okay. Well, so. It can't be spread through that.
Gotcha. Well, they backtracked. I mean, unless you're like right up in it, you know.
All right.
If you know what I'm saying.
Right.
If you're right up in it, you know, there's a chance of that happening.
All right. Can you imagine? Like, there would be no way to find out if that's the way you contracted it.
There's only one way.
But let's say you die and get to the pearly gates and you're like, I know I had coronavirus, but how did I get it? And they were like, all right, you really want to know? You were standing right there and this guy, and you're like, oh, really? Yeah. That's how I got it?
You remember that time you were in the elevator?
Right.
And
you're like,
it
you
was
gotta
fine.
Be kidding me.
You didn't really hear anything, and all of a sudden you were like,
yeah, I got coronavirus that way?
Yeah.
Really?
Yep.
And they're like, yeah, there's nothing. Like, why couldn't I get coronavirus like saving like two children from a burning building or something like that? Like, I know it's random. What are you going to do? Are we going to be okay? I keep hearing people say it's not that big of a deal. And some people saying this is the epidemic that's going to kill us all.
You know, who's not going to be okay. First of all, I mean, it's the epidemic that's going to kill us all. They're going to cancel the Olympics. Stock markets are going to plummet.
We're all going to be scrounging on the streets.
We're heading for the apocalypse.
Right.
Yeah. I don't know what to tell you, except for people in Iceland will probably be fine.
Do you know what I never understand about apocalyptic movies where there's a plague, like The Walking Dead or movies like that? They always act like we would go right into caveman survival, kill
right.
everybody mode.
I remember
when there's a good chance we would not do that.
There was a TV show where I can't remember what it was called. It only lasted one season, and you know, the wife and I got into it for a little bit. And the whole premise was there was like a EMP pulse or, you know, that electromagnetic pulse that just ruptured through the United States and just destroyed all the electricity. And almost overnight, states developed into like city states, like little mini countries. There was, you know, there's no electricity, no electronics, nothing to run everything. And people just, you know, all of a sudden governors just rose. And governors were either elected people who people trusted or was the strongest guy with the biggest gun.
Yeah, exactly.
And just overnight that happened.
They always show these like movies where people will just kill people for nothing and without knowing what they did. Like, wouldn't you need a dentist? Like, if you found out a group, like, if there was a group of survivors and there was a dentist in the group, wouldn't you protect that guy? Because tooth pain hurts.
Yeah.
Like, when you have a toothache, yes. It hurts. So you would say, any of us know how to deal with that? You? Great. You, stick around. Hey, by the way, does anybody know how to grow plants really well? Like, in certain different soils, under certain different moisture conditions? Great. Stick around. We're not going to just kill you because we like your hat. Right? Like, these movies always make it out like, hey, man. Hey, man, that's a nice shirt. Can I have it? No. No, that wouldn't, we wouldn't do that. We'd be like, what can you do for the next society? Can you contribute to the next society and then build it up again that way? But that's Hollywood. They need to make it out to be like we're all just uber violent.
Yeah. Now, here's some other things, you know, some other updates for you to know, okay? I mean, besides the stock market crashing, and Corona is having issues now. They're having, I mean,
yeah.
A lot of people are afraid.
They're
because,
afraid to drink it.
You know what? If I drink Corona, I'm going to get the coronavirus.
That's right.
Because that's how it works. Japan just recently closed all their schools for a month.
Japan closed all their schools for a month?
Yeah.
That makes sense. Well, if they're closing their schools for a month, what are we doing about the Olympics?
Maybe this is their way of saying, like, see, okay, we're controlling it.
I guess so.
No education.
Yeah, I know. God.
Bring the Olympics.
This is crazy. Corona's got to do some marketing. There's a marketing tool here about... there's got to be a way they can play off this, like...
There has
you know,
to be. You know what? Maybe take the lighter side. Like, got the coronavirus? Crack open a Corona.
Oh, yay. Why not?
I mean, yeah. What else
there's
is there to do?
The right Madison Avenue company can spin this in
oh, you
a
know
way.
What? I'm going to throw out some ideas. I got one for you. And Madison Avenue, you can send the check to me, okay?
Okay.
How about this? You know, how to get away from the coronavirus and just have a guy sitting on a beach drinking a Corona.
Beautiful.
You know, no Beautiful. Coronavirus here.
You don't even have to say anything.
Don't
you
even
just,
know.
Just show them just isolated show on this island. Right?
You know, just show a word. No coronavirus.
No coronavirus.
Just coronas.
That's right. Beautiful. That's great. That's great. That's in.
If I see that in a month, I expect a check.
I know. We'll have the tape. We'll have the tape
Madison
to show
Avenue.
We came up with February 28th.
Exactly.
What's the bad of the day?
The bad of the day. You know, Disneyland rose their prices.
Yes, they did.
You know, and I know you're a big Disney guy.
Mm-hmm.
Disneyland rose the prices, you know, to $200 per person, right?
That's not the bad.
Yesterday, some people got a little more adventure than what they asked for the Jungle Cruise.
Yes, they did.
Their boats sank.
They're both sank on the Jungle Cruise, and I. my first thought was how actually deep is that ride's
yeah.
lagoon?
Well, when you see
were people like, all right, well, I'll just get my knees up to my knees wet. I mean, yeah. It's on a track. It's not a track. It's not like it's 10 feet deep.
You know, when that guy is talking and going through his whole monologue. And he's not really paying attention and driving. There's a reason why he doesn't have to make sure that there's the shore is right there. I better make sure to turn right now.
Right.
There's a hippo in the water. I better make sure not to hit that.
That's really funny you brought that story up because the way the media treated it is if there was like poor mothers in the cabin just singing to their children as water was just coming up the water boat ride and there were just not enough life bolts for everybody.
Did they right? get the women and children off first?
Right, women and children off first, right?
Was there
there
one
was a
man
band
that said,
playing.
Yeah, was there one man that pushed him aside and I must save myself.
Exactly. But, you know, an orchestra just trying to keep everybody calm while the water was coming in on the Disney Jungle Boat ride.
But have you seen the photos? I mean, it looked pretty deep.
Exactly. Yeah, I know.
I was like, whoa.
Fat Rose not moving so Jack could get on that piece of wood, too. Right? There was none of that.
Rose, right? Come on.
Come on, Rose. You can move over. No, Jack, there's not enough room. Trust me, Rose. If you just move a little bit, I don't need a lot of space. All right? I can seriously get on this little piece of wood. I'm good. But they treated it as if it was like seriously, like it was going to crack in two.
It was going to. It was going to split at any second. You know, I don't know how many fatalities are going to be, and it just adds more to the Disneyland myth. Not really much of a myth, but you know, there's a lot of dead people that kind of cruise Disneyland because people spread their ashes there all the time.
Yeah, all the time.
Especially
all the time.
In the Haunted Mansion.
That's yes. They'll catch you now. They put cameras everywhere, which is sad.
I got caught by a camera doing nefarious things once.
Well, who hasn't, right?
Yeah. When they were, I got kicked out of half of Disneyland.
Maya, what'd you do? You got half of Disneyland? They let you in the other half but kept you out of the other half?
Yeah, and my cousin and I were so afraid to enter the other half until like 4 hours, 5 hours later, it finally hit us like, how in the world are they going to remember us that we can't go over to Adventureland or Frontierland?
My wife told me when she was in, she grew up in Florida, they had, they have senior night at the theme park. Yeah, and she goes, yeah you have the same thing.
Yep.
She says all the stories, just what people, what girl, you know, guys and girls tried to get away with it at the park and those dark rides.
Yeah. They take you, they drop, you know, buses pick you up at your high school, local high school, and they drop you, pretty much drop you off at Disneyland at 12 o'clock in the morning. And you're there from 12 to about 5:30 in the morning.
How sweet is that?
And so, and you're the, it's only high schools, it's only college or high school kids that are there.
What an unbelievably horrible night for the workers.
Yeah.
That must have been a nightmare.
It's got to be, I mean, they better be paid extra, extra.
It's late and you're dealing with high school kids.
Yep.
Who are graduating high school.
Yeah, punk high school kids, by the way.
Who don't have it, there's no more authority in their life anymore,
No. That's,
it's not like, oh, I'll tell the principal, like, yeah, whatever, I'm not.
Yeah, go ahead.
Go ahead. By the time you process this, I'll be gone.
Yep, diploma's in the mail.
Exactly. That's funny. All right, so what is the dumb of the day?
The dumb of the day, I was on the fence about this, okay? I think it's good. I think you'll think it's good. It just might be a bad, it might be a dumb look for America.
Okay.
Dunkin' Donuts has a new item.
Which is?
If you're feeling a little hungry and you're not wanting the sweet side of things, you can now get bacon in a bag.
Bacon in a, like, just a bag of bacon?
Yeah.
Just to eat, like, yeah. I reach in just, and I grab a piece of bacon?
Just snacking bacon.
God, of all the places that would offer that, it's weird that Dunkin' Donuts is offering that.
Yeah. See, I love the idea.
I do. Oh, no, don't me too.
I mean, who doesn't want bacon? And you could just go through a drive-thru and say, yeah, just give me a pack of snacking bacon.
Yeah, that's great.
I'm just a little on the dumb side because that kind of fulfills America's image, right?
Yeah, of course.
That's the issue I'm having with it. It's like, I want to go and buy a bag of bacon, but at the same time, I'm going to feel ashamed of myself.
I've also gotten a little, listen, we all love bacon, but don't you feel like the bacon thing is just a little too nuts?
Yeah.
Like we're it's like, I like bacon, but I don't want bacon ice cream.
No.
I don't want, like, I don't want bacon flavored Pop-Tarts. Like, I don't need, don't make an Oreo cookie that has bacon pieces in it. Like, I don't,
you don't need that. But yeah, have you ever had a slice of bacon on top of a maple bar?
Yes, I have. That is delicious.
It is brilliant.
That is really good.
Concoction, really good. Ever thought of that thing?
But I've always felt like we like bacon, but how much bacon? Like, do we put it on all these products? And I'm like, I don't think we like bacon that much.
There's a website you can go to, and it's simply is called bacon porn.
Oh, really? Just all sorts of bacon.
It's just different ways that people have made bacon, added bacon, cooked bacon. Then it has, you know, bacon socks, bacon shirts, bacon aprons, God, bacon hats. You know. So, yeah, I'm in favor. I'm going to have to try it at some point.
Aren't you surprised, though, that there hasn't been another, like, I mean, I don't know how the burger business works, but they didn't come up with this idea? Dunkin' Donuts came up with this idea?
Yeah.
Like, I feel like Burger King is on the cutting edge of crazy food items. Like, they didn't
They decided to go the meatless route.
Yeah, they went the meatless route.
They're going to have the meatless bacon available.
But they also did chicken fries. Do you remember when they did chicken fries? They still have that?
Yeah, my son orders them all the time.
Oh, you know, like they've done those kind of things where they've gone, let's try to get a little unique food item. I'm surprised they didn't go, hey, look, we're going to put it in a box and it's bacon pieces or bacon strips and off you go. Big, thick cut American bacon strips. We're just going to just enjoy it. So, I mean, Dunkin' Donuts, God bless. God bless. You're right, though. Everything they have in there, I mean, they have sandwiches and stuff, but I mean, you think of it more as the sugary kind of place to go.
You think of the donuts.
Yeah, the donuts, right?
But see, the dumb part
coffee,
is it's just
great coffee.
I mean, it's just kind of like adding to America's gluttony.
Right.
We're fat capitalists. And now we can just go to a drive-thru and get bacon in a bag.
Man, oh, man. Well, that is the good, the bad, and the dumb on a Friday as we head into the weekend on SB Nation AM.
You're listening to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us, SB Nation Radio, SB Nation AM, as we continue along. So what are you doing on Leap Day tomorrow?
Anything? I got a full day of sports.
Do you celebrate Leap Day?
No, but funny enough, my mom was almost born on Leap Day.
Oh, really?
Yeah, she missed it by literally by a couple hours.
I wonder if how many people out there are if you were born on the 29th of February, when do you celebrate your yearly birthday? Is it on the 28th or the 1st?
Closest weekend, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah. Because, you know, if you're on the 29th, like if you're, you know, you could be like, oh, you get a birthday every 4 years, but you would celebrate it every year at some calendar date. So which date would you choose if you were born on the 29th of February? Would you say, well, my birthday's on the 28th? Would your mother bring in cook cupcakes for everybody in your school on the 28th or March 1st?
Midnight.
Probably, yeah, right? Exactly at the right time.
Guess what? My mom, my mom's birthday is March 1st.
Okay.
And I want to say she was born like at 2 in the morning or something like that.
Oh, almost so caught it on a leap year?
It was a leap year, 1956.
Nice.
So I'm trying to do my math. I can't do math. I'm trying to figure out how old my mom would be had she been born on that day.
Yeah.
She'd be turning 16. That would be her sweet 16.
There you go. Yeah.
Her sweet 16 would be happening this year.
No, happy leap day. So whatever, however people spend leap day. Yeah. It's one
Mine's
more day.
Mine's going to be spent sports.
What are you going to watch? XFL?
Oh, no. Kids.
Oh, kids.
Kids yeah. Sports. One kid got a soccer game in the morning. The other one, two baseball games in the afternoon.
There you go.
That's it.
Yep. Well,
and maybe I'll catch some XFL highlights.
Well, Sunday night. I brought it up. Sunday night's got a big game.
Yeah. No, that's good. That helps me out.
Yep. Big game Sunday night between DC and Tampa Bay.
Who?
The Tampa Bay Vipers at 0-3 against the DC Defenders at 2-1.
Defenders.
7 p.m. Eastern time Sunday night XFL football. That's your leap weekend.
That's leap weekend.
So, SB Nation AM.